Hello and welcome to Chattitude Gold with
Gold.
We should always plan out what we're going to sing at the same time together. That was a note that we gave each other. We haven't learned from it. We're not learning. We're not growing.
No. On the topic of learning and growing, I'm joined by Tadhg O'Mahony and Laura Hickey once again.
Tadhg O'Mahony.
Tadhg O'Mahony and Laura Hickey.
Oh, that's kind of sad because that was my father's name.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, God. Sad,
I'm joined.
Has he gone up to the...
Yes,
the great maker.
I like to start off podcast.
That's our second podcast.
Death straight away.
Podcast started by death. On the topic of what we were saying a second ago, which was
what love.
We're not learning.
You have a brain fart.
No. We're not learning about the songs.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Tell me what you are learning. What do you want to change this year, Laura, about yourself?
2019. I'm not big into change.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Begin to change.
You hate change.
I know. It's not that I'm. Do you know? I don't want to be negative about anything in the past, we'll say. So, like, by changing, I'm suggesting that something wrong happened in the past.
She's perfect. She's golden.
No, but what I will say is I would like to be less stress, more success, less stressy about stupid things, like about keeping the house tidy and about, like, people not closing cupboards. You know, those kind of small things. I get very escalated about, like, there's a mess now and the mess is going to be here forever and we're living in mess and we're scum.
I was seeing a girl one time and I used to say, her name was Jess, and I used to say, less Jess, more success, just as a bit of a joke between
us.
Was
it a successful relationship, like?
Ultimately not, I
no,
suppose, because
okay.
We're not together now, but I just said I'd chip in with that I don't want to break your flow. But
well, I used to work in Liam Russell's bookshop, and Dom will attest to this because Dom worked there for about three days, 6 minutes with me. And somebody came in looking for less stress, more success. I believe it was higher level geography. And I said to them, that book doesn't exist. And she said, well, it does. Like, I'm looking.
She's like, I'll go and have a look for it.
And I was like, well, it doesn't exist.
And she's like, oh, it's not there.
Yeah.
And Laura made a noise that I'd never heard before.
Well, no,
what
I did is I picked up a copy of a different Less Stress, More Success, and I drew her attention to the titles on the back where geography was not listed. And I said, as you can see, there's no geography there. And she said, oh, I see, yeah. And then I went...
It's a
the customer
line.
Is not always
no.
right.
Ah, no.
So
Laura,
a groinal.
Laura
noise.
Was a great mentor for me in terms of customer service.
Were you working at Liam Russell's during the 4 or 5 years you were kept back in junior infants, or were you a bit older?
I was about 12 years old.
He was the tallest man to ever work in Liam Russell's.
That is correct.
Yeah.
3 days.
Giant I'd say he worked
of
there.
To my
infants.
Detriment. Yeah.
But, change. I would like to be less pernickety about stupid stuff. And also, as well, do you ever get this? Like, you probably don't know, but if I'd be sitting down with myself and Shane, my husband would be happily watching a programme. And we're just having a lovely time. Like, Shane in his head is just watching the programme, having a cup of tea, all grand. Break comes on and I'm like, Shane, we need to talk about this now. Like, this is terrible the way we're just sitting here watching telly. Like, we should be doing something, blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
and
God.
He's just like, I was just watching telly. So I'd like to be less ludicrous, I think, in those
less
kind
mental,
of domestic situations.
Can I ask, Laura, because I've noticed this and I would like to know if it's something that occurs
with
you.
Oh, he's going to level some abuse at me now again.
Certainly
here.
Not. I'm just going to ask you a question.
Sorry.
I find that the serious discussions that I've ever had with my significant other have always occurred just before going to bed.
No.
I'm very sleepy and I would like to probably go to sleep. It's for me, it's not... Right now, no, I'm fine. I'm a little bit tired, but I'm okay. These conversations tend to happen just before we're about to go to sleep.
Now, yeah. A wise person, it's the best bit of advice I ever got. It was from a friend of ours who said, no decisions after 10 o'clock. Because I do notice that I do go mad after 10 o'clock. So I might be like, no, tomorrow at half 10, I'd be like, tomorrow now I have to drive and get petrol before my daughter goes to play school. So I'll drive, you mind the kids, I'll come back then, collect the kids, bring them. Then the next morning, I'm like, sure, that's ludicrous.
Yeah.
So after 10 o'clock is the cutoff point for decisions, and it should be the cutoff point for big conversations. But when it's also when I get at my most chatty, kind of like, let's examine our relationship territory. And
oh,
Shane's just like,
gosh,
I just want to put on my slippers.
This is what I'm referring to, as in, let's examine, let's go into detail now here about our relationship. And I'm kind of like, I'm almost asleep.
Yeah. And I would say, for the most part, Shane is just happy out. We have a lovely relationship. He's going about his business. Whereas I'm like, That could be tweaked a bit. Maybe we could be doing a bit more of that and a bit less of that.
Are you tweaking him? Or are you tweaking you?
I think I'm just being a dose. I actually think what I'm doing is I am adding content to my life. I'm kind of scripting
it. Refreshingly honest.
Like, sometimes we watch a television program And if they, if a fight happens in the television program, you could be almost guaranteed that we'd fight that night. I think I reenact stuff that I think I'm very
monkey see, monkey do.
I'm very impressionable. Stuff, that I'd be very like. There's we, there's one program, The Affair. We had to stop watching it because every time we watched,
you're
we had
about
a fight.
To have an affair.
No, no, not an affair, but we're about to have an affair. I'm very impressionable, so I'd be like, oh yeah, that one there giving out a bit. Actually, that's not great in our relationship. I'm gonna tackle him on that now.
But are you getting a bit of a buzz off looking at the fight? Do you know what I mean? Is it kind of a buzzed up feeling?
No,
or?
No, not at all. If anything, it's kind of like a sad feeling.
Oh, really?
I think I'm just trying to add content.
That's very interesting.
A friend of mine, she said something interesting to me, and I can't understand this whatsoever, because I don't like fighting with people in general, either physically or verbally, whatever it is. I don't. She said sometimes she comes home and she's like, I'm going to fight with my other half tonight. We're going to have an argument. I feel like I want to have a fight.
I've certainly been on the receiving end of that, but I don't understand it, no.
Is this something that occurs with you, Laura?
I would have to say that I don't mind a confrontation between somebody that might have wronged me, right? I don't mind that kind of, I don't mind a full on confrontation.
We will get to that in a bit.
Where
people who've wronged you.
Like a confrontation where I actually have enough ground to stand on and I have the kind of courage of my convictions. I don't mind that kind of fight. I wouldn't say that I plan a fight with Shane, but I would have to admit to, like, if it's, you know, if it's not that I'd have it planned, but like if I'm in the middle of having a fight, I'll throw everything in there. So like, you know, I won't just fight about the one thing. I'd be like, actually, that really bugged me last week. So I'll kind of plow all of the,
God,
10 years ago you did this, and I'm going to put that in. And it's very hard to fight with Shane because Shane is always in the same mood. He's very level, so that makes me worse then. And then I end up with like, and of course you're not even answering, and I'm sitting here then being the bitch and you're just sitting there, and Shane loves a big silence, and I'd be like, use your words, Shane, for God's sake, the silence. There's been more like, I just get very
fight back though?
No, because Shane knows it'll pass. This is the after 10 o'clock thing. He knows that the next morning I'd be like, sorry, Shane, I was mental. And he'd be like, yeah, I know. But if he told me in that moment that I was mental, oh, there'd be hell to pay.
Laura, what I don't understand
is we've a great relationship.
I know you do.
Case, yeah.
It seems like you are extraordinarily self-aware of your craziness, though.
You know when it's happening.
So is there any chance that it could be... In the moment.
I know when it's happening, but it's also an unstoppable force.
Okay.
So now it'll always happen on a day that I have a performance. Like if I have a stand-up gig or something, you can be guaranteed I'll be a dose that day. Sometimes I'm better to just get out of the house or whatever.
I understand that,
But I'm aware in the moment of, okay, I'm kind of escalating and I know I'm gone a bit mental and I know I'll be apologising tomorrow. But in that moment, I'm still like, but there's definitely a reason for it. And usually there is a reason for whatever fight we'd be having, but it's not the 10 reasons that I've outlined. It's probably something else small.
Apparently, I listened to lectures by a clinical psychologist and he said, when you're having an argument with your other half, try and keep it as specific as possible. So the opposite of what you're doing, where you're like, do you know what, I'm going to tag this part in as well, I'm going to tack on in the end. Don't start making it, and you never listen to me, and you're actually always like this.
Oh, I'd be like that.
You've got to keep it as in.
Oh,
this,
that's a nightmare for him, I'd say. Oh,
this one time
off, though,
you've done something
hard,
wrong.
Is it?
But we've a great relationship, because Shane just is like, I love her, this'll wear out. And she's like a storm. Like it'll peter out and it'll be fine. And then
I love your version of his inner thoughts. I love her. And I love the way she's bringing up shit from the past here.
20 years ago.
10 years ago. Stuff I did wrong. I love this. I love the way she does that.
No,
look at her big red face shouting at me.
No, I wouldn't be shouty.
You're trying to watch the TV.
I wouldn't be shouty. I'd be very verbal. Kind of beautiful in my not to look at, but in my stringing together of words, like so articulate, but absolutely ludicrous.
But Laura, at that point, is it about winning?
Well, you see, I was a debater, so maybe there's a debate. No, at that point, it's about, like, really what I want is Shane to come home from work every day and be like, Laura, you're a great mother. You're an amazing woman. What you do now is you go to Fota and we'll get you a spa treatment. I want that every day.
Every night.
So when he comes home and he's a bit tired from work and he stirs the dinner that I've been making or something, the night is wrecked.
Ah, you're a basket case, But like I've definitely been in relationships like that before, and I used to always think, you know, basket case.
Our relationship is perfect, mine and Jane's.
Like, why can't you just know that he knows that? Why does he have to keep pointing it out? Like, he just thinks that's
because
stuff
I
anyway.
Need the content for living my life, so that when I look back at my life,
so
I'm like,
podcasts.
Full of content.
Interesting. Basket case.
I think things like stirring the dinner.
Dost now stir dinner?
But your version of me is different. But we've had fights. Me and Dom have had one fight, and me and you have had about three, I'd say. But probably
you
not
call them fights. Like a fight, we shouting at each other.
But no, you
we
see,
just had
I,
a few. Like,
I don't think, well, no, but that noise that you made there now is pretty much mine and Jane's fights. I'd never shout at him.
But you said you're like, you have a string of sentences like well put together.
But it is an eloquently long monologue. Yeah. Like, it is just a stunning monologue. Do you know?
10 out of 10.
Dead air.
10 out of 10.
Claire held up a sign and we all got distracted.
Sneezing Jesus. What about,
I'd say you couldn't fight with Judam. I'd say you'd be too, I'd say your response would be so factual that you'd drive me bizarre.
Oh, myself and Dom have had a few fights.
Have you?
I wouldn't call them fights though.
We've had
passionate discussions. We certainly have, and that's something on the to bring us back to resolutions or New Year's kind of improvements that you're doing about yourself. We really do. is
stop
to
it.
Be able to disagree with somebody about something, but not fight with them.
Yes,
I find
yes.
And not try and win, and not try and convince them of your point of view. Just let them be.
Yes, and I not always take feel it so personally. That's something I do struggle with as well.
I do struggle
with
that. I feel unsettled if I ever have a disagreement with someone. That's probably back to what we were saying in our first podcast about, like, you know, wanting people to like you. Like, if I take an opposing view to either one of you, like, that could be my day gone, thinking, oh, I should, you know, oh God, I was too strong on that.
Really?
And yeah, it could. I like.
But you both seem so self-assured in your own opinions on say, like, we're working out a sketch together, like, you're both very kind of self-assured.
That's
in what
a different kind of, that'd be a different self-assuredness, I suppose. It's a different, I don't know, like.
Interesting.
I remember something that I used to do in the, we'll say, six arguments that I've ever had in my life with other halves. I'd say I can count them on.
You just don't engage. No way. If they're going there, you don't go there, is it?
No. What I do that tends to drive people crazy is I ask for examples. So I'm like, you know, you're saying this about me. You're levying this criticism about my character. I would like you to give me a specific example as to when this happened.
That's very fair.
I think that I'd respond well to that, I think.
Oh, it was responded to very, very badly.
Really?
Ooh. Extremely badly. Ooh, yeah.
Red balloon.
Why do you keep asking for examples? Because I want you to back up what you're saying with some evidence.
Rather than a broad stroke against your character generally. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I think if Shane asked for examples,
you'd probably rip his throat out.
No, I'd struggle to think of examples.
You see, you can't.
Stirring the stew, are you? How about your head in a stew, mate?
You see, I don't think you can think of examples in the moment because your brain is clouded with anger.
Yeah. I wonder sometimes, does it, like, this is ridiculous because, like, we're together since, oh my God, we got married in 2012.
Did
we're together.
Laura and I have been together for a
while
now.
We're married since 2005.
And
right?
I wasn't invited.
No.
Well, I didn't know it would have been weird to invite
him. I was there,
Jim.
It was great.
Yeah, Dan was there.
Have a good night, did you?
Oh, at the wedding, actually a great night. I danced the night away.
It was a great night.
Danced the night away.
I'm still dancing.
I wonder, does it stem, because I'm dramatic as a part, like as a job or whatever, I wonder, does it stem from a feeling that we're going to break up? That it's all too good to be true? Do you know what I mean? Because I swing between thinking we're going to break up like that, which we never ever would, or one of us is going to die. Because I met him very young. I met him when I was 20, and I'm like, we had it all too soon. You know, we've lovely two kids, we've a lovely life, we're very happy. I'm
tragedy's
like,
on your own.
In my head, God is going, ha ha, bang, dead.
But then, would you allow me to say to you that maybe your New Year's resolution should be just more living in the moment and acceptance of where you are? You have lovely things in your life, and if you're looking ahead at a disaster that probably won't happen, you're actually not enjoying all these lovely things.
And I also think we'll all inevitably be at a point, you know, you have highs and lows. So there will, like, as in we're on a lovely high at the moment, a low will happen, something will happen. And you don't want to have been low in the high. Do you know what I mean? That you're like, oh, this could. It's again, David Carey, the child psychologist that I love, that had the misfortune of dying. He said, don't borrow a worry from the future for today.
Exactly.
I think that'll be my new resolution. I'm too much in my head. A lot
never
of,
know
a lot of thinking.
If you're getting low. Or
that's, don't want to hear that accent
again. I detest rap. I detest rap.
Rap?
Yeah.
Would you get
was
it?
I don't think
for
it was
your
rap.
New Year's resolution.
I detest reggae. And I think, and this is a generalization,
God.
I think to like reggae, you need to smoke weed.
Oh,
if you don't smoke weed,
my God.
You're not going to like reggae.
Can I just say that when I was working in Liam Russell's, somebody asked me, was Shane, my husband, good at rapping? And I said, no, he just can't really rhyme. And the poor fella was
brilliant.
Standing looking at me holding like a roll of Christmas wrapping paper going, no, like wrapping presents. And then was thrilled at the notion that Jane has tried to rap just casually around the house.
Eminem like.
Gangster's Paradise.
She puts on the stew. She
I don't like your
poo.
Comment about reggae there.
Go on, defend
I won't
yourself.
Get into it now because the podcast will be gone. But defend myself.
Well, defend your point of view.
Come on, Mr. Marley.
You
defend
might just
yourself.
Have
give me an example of somebody who likes reggae who doesn't smoke weed.
He just asked for an example.
Oh,
you're fighting.
Oh dear, this is a fight.
I think we're
having a fight.
No, but I would just say you probably know a skim off the top kind of pop reggae, as most of us do, unless you're initiated into it. Like, it's very different. It's like saying, oh, I hate jazz, and you're after listening to pop jazz, like, you know, or something even okay,
well,
than that.
All I can do is I can say that I have never heard a piece of reggae that I've liked.
How many pieces have you heard? Not
thousands.
Thousands?
You have not heard thousands of pieces of reggae.
Neither of you have heard thousands of pieces of reggae.
I went through a spell of really enjoying reggae, and I was hanging out with two or three, and only one of them smoked weed.
So you were
actually, the other guy had a massive pill problem.
So you're not really helping your cause there. No, you were probably passively smoking weed at that point.
No, I wasn't actually. I was actively. I'm after getting caught out. No, but reggae. And I actually, if you don't mind me saying, and this is going to drop an awful controversial thing into the room.
You
the
hate
podcast,
me.
I don't hate you. I'd credit you to my bossum if I was allowed. I just find you very racist.
Here we go. Okay.
I think your attack on reggae, you wouldn't be attacking a kind of an ethnically white kind of
I hate
music,
death metal. I can't abide
it's
death
pretty
metal.
White, I suppose.
Yeah, it doesn't get much wider than that.
Okay.
I have very little time for it.
And what would
you like any black types of music,
musical
though?
Genre that you
like? I like jazz.
Okay.
Do you not like rap?
Rabbi rap.
There is a rabbi.
Welcome to Rabbi Rap.
Rabbi
Yosef.
Spiking, I'm gone hot.
I think rap is like, I like it. It's rhyming, like.
Rest assured, rap.
All you rap fans out there,
the basket case loves
you. There is no need to worry. Don't stir the soup.
Nor again, I believe the term is spit bars. I could spit bars up the wazoo. So
I'll spit a good few bars up you now in a moment.
I respect the skill involved in creating rap.
Yes.
But I do not like
me too.
I do not like listening to it.
I don't think you could. Would you not listen to a bit of Eminem?
No.
Listen to the white fella, no.
As a teen, no.
What did you listen to as a teen?
Can we take this away from...
What did you listen to as a teen?
Oh, as a teen. Yeah. Do you know what my very first piece of music ever was?
Spice Girls Wannabe.
It was Gangster's Paradise on
a
cassette.
Lover.
There's rap in Gangster's Paradise.
This is what I'm saying.
Walk through the valley.
This is what I'm saying.
But Gangster's Paradise is actually, not many people know this, it's a cover of a Stevie Wonder song.
Oh, I knew that.
You know this. It's called Pastime Paradise.
Okay.
So fundamentally, the basics of it are quite solid.
Gone.
She feels you're going on too long. I can always sense.
I can tell that. Well, she was
and
kind
I'm actually
of
sorry for saying she. That's something that's on my
mother.
New Year's resolution.
The cat's mother.
That's
to stop saying she.
But to say Laura instead of she. But she is a bit, I don't know. I guess.
Well, she is rude if she is in the room.
Rude, yeah.
You would say Laura.
I'm rude if I'm in the room.
No. Well, actually, coincidentally, yes.
But you are always rude, whether you're in the room or not.
No, you're not. You're not, love.
I think in general, that's something that I would like to get better at this year is people's names.
Oh,
a guy I work with, and
I don't think that'll come around.
He is incredible with names. We'll start working with a group of maybe 15 people, and within 10 minutes, it's Jeff Gould.
Yeah,
he's got all their names, and he's like, "It's easy. I just remember them in groups of three." I'm like, "Wow, that's impressive."
No,
because
I'm
second guess myself. I'll meet somebody, and in my head, I'll be like, "This is John. This is John. Okay." And then it comes time to use his name, and I'm like, "Is it John?
Yeah.
Are you gonna make a balls of this now? If his name's not John." Now that being said, I went through an entire physio session being called Donica.
And you just went through it.
I didn't correct him after the first.
It's too late then, utterance.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. It got too late to actually do it. But he was the type of person who would say my name at the end of every sentence. And Donica, I'll just get you to turn onto your right-hand side, please. And Donica, if you could just lift your leg there, please, Donica. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what happened to me the other day, right? This fella, I had Alfie, my baby, in my arms, and this fella smiled at Alfie, right, and said something, and the man looked vaguely familiar, and I thought he was a friend of my dad's. So I went over to him and I was like, "Hiya, how are you?" And your mom was like, "Hiya." And I was like, "Oh, doesn't Alfie look very like Jimmy Daly, right, about my son to this man?" And he was like, "Yeah," and I thought he looked a bit bemused, all right. And I was like, "Anyway, yeah, you know, I'll tell him you were asking for him anyway." And off I went. Sure, that man didn't know my dad at all.
Who you are? A nanny be.
I still see that man, and I just have to hide now every time I see him. He's like, "That lunatic came over talking to me with her baby." Isn't that weird?
I'm sure he thought that you meant well, surely.
I'm sure he thought I was a raving basket case.
Tyke, self-improvement. Go on.
My love.
What would you like to do better this year?
Oh, stop.
I might get a bigger jug.
Just so, because our listeners can't see now, Tyke has a very little water jug in front of him.
Tiny little thing, like a little milk jug.
Tiny little jug.
Self-improvement. Yeah, geez, I don't know. I think I'd like to engage more, both, this now is in terms of the career as well, and socially, I'd like to engage more with others. Because I think definitely with Cahoots as well, I personally went through a spell where I was like, I can just kind of write stuff and we can create stuff. We can do videos together endlessly. But actually, I think reaching out and not being like, you know, no man is an island kind of thing. I just don't know what I've gained really from kind of really like isolating myself a little bit.
Okay, that's interesting.
Creatively, you know, like myself and Claire did a production recently for an American television travel channel. And I started off the gig, I wasn't like enamoured with the idea of doing it, to be quite honest with you. Like halfway through, and I was doing some jobs in it that like I'd gotten used to, like directing my own TV show, writing it. I've got the control, I'm doing it with my friends. Directing E is a pleasure, you're directing yourselves. Anyways, whatever. On this American show, I was like kind of like doing what I would consider to be like at times uncreative roles. But I ended up like meeting people through it. And I was like, whoa, do you know, I should reach out a little bit more, because not only were some of them good connections for Cahoots, but I actually really enjoy their company. And
yeah,
I was
I
just want to kind of open out a little bit more this year. Does that sound a bit vague?
Not at all.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Do we still get to just be the three of us doing acting? Like,
oh, God. Yeah, but what I'm kind of saying
so
is
what
like,
you're saying is you're looking to bring other people into the group.
No.
No, but I know what you mean. Like, that
Stalin,
there are
the final moments here.
There are other, there are mutually beneficial things from like not being so closed off.
I don't think you're closed off. I just think sometimes, and I went through a thing for a while, it was like, if I just stay in my room here writing and then this thing comes out and it's a big hit and then like the guys are like so funny and everything's like, I can do everything myself. Like, there's nothing wrong with reaching out, I don't
absolutely
think. You
not,
know, like,
you have to.
And like, I just wasn't doing it for, even to the point where I'm going to hold my hand up here, like, I, a long time ago, went, oh, I don't do meet and greets. I don't go to launches. I don't go to like networking sessions. Why? I don't know. I think I must have just thought that I was like, I'd made it years ago or something. I don't know what happened to me. But like going forward, I think I'd be open to going to some of those.
Yeah, I see. I'm always a fan of going to stuff like that, but just because I think it's important to go to things like that. But I think that's all right, because you've done the extreme of not going to them and you've realised that doesn't work either. So it's somewhere in between, I think.
I think I don't go to those things for a different reason. And that's, it could be slightly imposter syndrome, because I'm going to these things going, she've done nothing. Like, my dad was kind of saying to me, you know, you should go back to your secondary school now and I'm sure they'd love to have you back there and you should talk to the students and whatever. And I'm like, well, I'd like to achieve something first before I go back and start talking
she's
to them about
loads.
I don't
achieve
really
loads.
Think I have, though.
Well, you want to get over
mean.
That then. That's
sorry?
That you want to get
no,
over
but I
that.
Do understand
no,
what you're saying,
I don't. I genuinely, in the grander scheme of things, like, there are people who've achieved 1,000 times more things than I've achieved, and it would be better to get one of them to go and talk at the school.
I know, but you have to be realistic too, Dom. Like, appearing,
they're not
going
to be able to get
stuff.
Louis that, Welsh that to is, come and that, talk at the school.
Who?
Like, Louis Welsh.
Louis Welsh!
Louis Welsh!
Like, that is to, like, a youngster, that could be inspirational. Maybe they want to go and do movies, they want to do, you
if
know.
I was, like, I was the only person in my year that I was aware of at the time that wanted to be an actor, we'll say. And, like, all the speakers they used to come in, a lot of them didn't speak to me. Because I was like, sure, I don't want to be this chap. If you had come in, I'd have been like, oh my God, somebody who did it. Somebody from Cork, a normal chap who did it and is continuing to do it and is realistic about what doing it is. I'd have been delighted.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, when I was in secondary school, there's an actor called Louis Lovett. Do you know
Louis
Lovett?
Yeah, yeah.
He went to the same secondary school as I did. He came back and he spoke to us. And I remember him going up to the front of the room and he'd no notes and he'd nothing prepared. And he spoke for about 20 minutes off the cuff.
God.
He was hilarious and he had everyone in knots. And I was watching him going, how in the name of God
have
does somebody do that?
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
is magic.
Yeah.
So obviously he kind of inspired me, I suppose. This is only occurring to me right now as you said it. But I suppose that's a good point.
Can I jump in with one more thing? I just want
please. Jump in with both feet.
I just
now your
have
shoes
a
are off.
Corollary.
To,
no, they're back on.
Okay,
they're back
great.
On this week. I just want to have a corollary to what I'm saying. Another thing I would struggle with as well is that when I get comfortable with somebody, I'm just so comfortable then. Oh God, I talk to them for hours. I go to their house, I eat their dinner. they'd have it up on the table for themselves, I'd eat it.
You'd eat it.
Right? But at the start, I'm actually quite nervy, like, you know, I can be quite...
Well, we spoke about this, like,
you know?
you don't like ringing people.
Oh,
I don't, like, if I
God.
Have to ring someone, I'm like, why can't these people deal in text message or email? Like, why do I have to ring them? Like, at the moment, our oil is gone and we need to get the system bled. And I'm just like, oh, I'd prefer to freeze now for the whole winter than to have to ring someone about it.
Yeah.
Because I get totally, like, I'm not an anxious person by any stretch of the imagination, but to have to ring a stranger now, I'm just not good at it.
Exactly.
And people have an expectation that you'd be great at it. Like, people often think that I'd be great now at getting sponsorship. I wouldn't dream of walking into a shop and asking even for a spot prize. I'd be like, hi, sorry, can I buy a prize there?
Totally.
Like,
I hear
I'm
all the time someone
it.
Saying to me, like, oh, you'd be great at that. Nah. And in my head, I'm going, I'd be terrible at that.
I'm the worst. But I would hate to come across as cheeky. I hate the
Same,
idea of being
yeah.
cheeky.
Yeah.
Or like a bit kind of, oh, that's a bit forward to be
I
asking
for that.
I have
a constant thing about the man. Like, when anytime I go on holidays, if we go to a restaurant that's empty, I'm like, oh no, the man, like this is closed, like the man has closed this. And in my head, I have to remind myself, there is no imaginary man. This is a restaurant that has an open sign on the front of it, empty tables, you know, like maybe it's not a very good restaurant, but like at the same time.
Clearly in terms of its business.
But like, I'm like, oh no, we shouldn't sit in these chairs. These are obviously reserved, like freaking out. And I genuinely don't experience any anxiety concerns at all. But just when it comes to that, there is a like, I just don't want to ring this person. I just can't. And I would love to get braver about that, because more stuff would get done if I
phone calls are so much better, because they make everything happen pretty much straight away.
But is your stomach not knots as you're about to make one? Like, no.
Mine I don't find that.
Mine would
no.
I could be ringing one of ye and I'd be slightly nervous just before I ring.
But we're not used to it.
We're not, definitely.
But I've always struggled with phone calls. What gets me with phone calls is like, is the line going to be right? Am I going to be able to hear them? Are they going to be able to hear me? We can't see each other. So when's the natural moment for me to stop talking? You start, I'm gone. My head, I'm gone.
I also have a kind of a, like if I'm ringing, we'll say a work man. I'm like, oh, they're going to think I'm stupid now. So I almost ring them with like a chip on my shoulder. Yeah. And then I end up saying something dopey, like, you know, like our little oil pot is empty. Do you know, like it's something.
I'm sitting here now with my husband and I'm like a basket case. We're freezing.
I don't know the terms. Is it the oil pot? Is it the pot?
Stirring the stew and I don't know what to do.
I'm trying to see like a strong, independent woman on that 2 minute phone call. And I know exactly what to say, but like, I don't know. Like, I know exactly what to say, but when it comes to the moment to say it, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Panic. But having said that as well, I would like, this is a really boring one, I'd like to get rid of my phone a bit.
That's not boring at all.
I don't want to look back.
Extremely topical.
I do not want to look back at any portion, a portion of my children's life.
A portion.
And be like, I was on my phone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know, I completely but set myself like- up for it. Sorry? I completely set myself up for a fall the other day. I said to Polly, does mommy be on her phone a lot, Polly? And she was like, yeah. But like if I said to her,
why did you say that
after? If I said to her like, does mommy like wearing clothes? She'd be like, yeah.
It was a leading question in legal speak.
I shouldn't have asked
speak.
Her a leading question, because I know
does
I'm
mommy
not
mommy like reggae? Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, like,
does mommy
it?
Smoke weed?
No. But I think I need to put it down a bit. I definitely do.
Twisted on it.
You are. Laura was smoking just before we came
get
into the studio
away.
Today.
Laura's out of her mind.
No.
She's listening to reggae.
I'd be one of the ones
she
that
was hot boxing.
No. Disagree with me and I die.
She had one weed one night and died.
It was. She died. She literally died. Yeah.
But I think I'd get rid of my phone a bit.
If I sit down to have a conversation now with Simon, we'll say my brother Simon, we do a nice little thing where we take both our phones and we just put them on the table in the middle.
Yeah,
in a little pile.
You take each other's phone then at the end. No.
And then it's like a key party. You take the phone of the other person and you go home with that phone.
Like, I found myself this year watching programmes that I love, like the British Bake Off, right? I couldn't tell you what happened to it because I was on my phone. Even though I love that programme, it's pure habit. You're sad. Nothing sad about my life.
That's quite sad that like you're like sitting there just trying to like waste away a bit of time watching telly and she can't even do it because her phone's in the way.
It's very tragic. Very
too lousy. You're too lousy, young
fella. The husband is stewing. You know, the spoon is going. She's going to snap at that man.
Yeah.
The telly's on. The phone's out. It's a bloodbath.
What other aspects of life would get the blood pressure up in terms of anxiety? I mean, I'm not going to oust either of you in terms of paying your TV license, but I will say, to be honest, I went through a phase where I did not have a TV. No, I had a TV, but I had no connection. Like, there was no way for me to watch TV.
At one point, he had a TV license and no TV. Go on.
So there was a TV. It was for watching DVDs. It was for playing the PlayStation, whatever it was. No TV signal coming into it. I think by law you don't have to have a TV license for that. I don't know, but I wasn't.
Did you look it up?
I didn't want to pay it.
Right.
But I lived in terror for about 2 months. Yeah. And every time there was a knock on the door, I was like,
TV license? Are you serious?
We're not here. We're not here.
I lived in terror.
I did, and I was like, do you know what? Paying the €160 would be worth it so that I wouldn't have to live
in
that terror. Yeah.
I wouldn't be convinced that I'd have access to a TV license, but I do live very, very far away and I'd like to be an awful trek for them to come down to me.
I wouldn't be convinced I have access to €160, to be honest.
Oh, you see, I mean, it's per year though, Tyke. So if you break it down per month.
Could you pay it like, directly?
It's the price of a cup of coffee. It's the price of a cup of coffee
next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we do have one.
No, we have one.
I couldn't lay my hand on it.
We'll all have one.
I'm not going to oust you here in the podcast. Another thing that would bother me is if you go to a place where it says like only food and drink purchased in this restaurant can be consumed here. If I had like a bottle of water from outside or something.
Yeah.
Or even.
I'm a bit like that about the cinema. that okay. I'm like, do you know, if you
I
prefer to just buy it there. But if I did happen to buy something like in Tesco before going to like Omnibus or whatever, I'd have it like shoved down.
You'd have a Magnum in each pocket.
And I'd be panicked that somebody's going to come after me. Absolutely panicked. You know?
But I thought it was New Year's resolutions that we were doing.
Slight segue. I just had a lash on my thumb there. I asked you what yours were, and you gave me a very kind of cloudy answer.
Yeah, I did.
What's yours, Dan?
Be more open to people.
It's kind of cloudy, all right.
That's a good question. Now, what are my what do I want to get better at?
But it's not just get better though. It's like, you know,
it's like goals a bit or dreams.
Self tweaks.
I think self tweaks is a very good term. I think he just did. Yeah.
I'm tweaking myself.
I think, and particularly in the industry that we work in, going up and talking to people that you don't.
Are you in steel? No,
I'm in the steel industry. I've worked in the steel industry for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Going up and talking to people that you've never met before.
Oh, I'm not good at that.
I usually wait for the killer bees to come to me. I'll wait for somebody to come over to me and start talking.
But sure, that's my one. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to open out more as well.
Yours is about feeding some lad on the grass with
mandarins. No, that was talking about grass.
I guess I'm so sorry.
If you're opening out so much, I still want to be your friends.
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay.
Totally.
Yeah. I have no desire to be these people's friends. I just want to be comfortable enough to go over. It's the approach. Because once I'm in the conversation, I'm perfect, but it's the approach over.
I'd say nobody is actually comfortable doing that approach. And I'd say most people are actually relieved. Like, do you know what happens to me sometimes is I go to get a trolley, right? And I've no €1. And I know it'd be just so simple to just turn to whoever's next to me and say, here, could you give me a €1 there, right?
And could like, I get
as
a
in,
euro
so, like,
bus?
No, like as in you'd give like the 2.50 and bacon. But in my head, it's easier to go in, wander around the shop, find customer services and ask the official person. Like, I could make life so much easier if I just make those initial contacts. And I don't think anyone's good at it.
I don't find that kind of thing difficult then at all.
You're a bit of a weirdo, am I?
Yeah.
I think so.
No, but I know what you mean. Like, I'd say, I'd look at a fella there and I'd be like, oh, he'd probably be a bit of crack here. And I'll go up and I'll try that with no bother. It's walk into a room where everyone is like there for the same reason, where they're like networking. Like, John Ulrich, who works with us, like, he enjoys networking. He actually like is, well, I don't know if he enjoys it, but he relishes it.
I think it helps him in a weird way that he's American, because Irish people, we're kind of like married to being self-deprecating, and a self-deprecating person isn't going to go up and be like, hi, I'm Laura, lovely to meet you. Like,
he's just so good at it though. Like, I've seen him in action, I just think like, geez, I wouldn't mind a bit of that action. Like,
I reckon it's practice. I think we just have to practice.
I think so. But naturally, we're not very good at talking about ourselves. Not even talking ourselves off, but talking about ourselves in general, we're pretty poor at. Yeah. I remember that one of my main concerns when it came to, if I saw a girl that I liked and I was out in a bar or whatever it was, I wouldn't go up and chat to her, because I'd be like, I don't want to annoy her now. Am I going to be annoying to her if I go over and chat to her now? This is a big issue for me. I'm like, I hate annoying people.
Yeah.
So if I can avoid bothering people, I'll do that. Like, the thing about asking for somebody for a euro, I'm like, would I be bothering them if I did that now?
And you know what happens to me is sometimes I might see somebody I know. I might know them very well. Maybe I went to school with them. Maybe we're in a play together or whatever. And then I seem like I snub them. But what I've actually done in my head is gone, no, they won't remember me.
Exactly.
It's
I'm
an
the same.
Instant. Yeah. And like, so people get, they're like, oh, Laura's a dose. She's got notions. I'm like, I actually just didn't think you'd want to talk to
her. Yeah, same here.
That's terrible.
But it's a fear of cringe then as well, isn't it? I have a fear of cringe. I'm like, if I approach this person, we have this conversation, there's a lull in it. It's like, that's cringy. And then my whole soul is going down into the sewer. I'm like,
I've got a perfect strategy for that. I never let a conversation get to that point.
You'd be gone already.
I'm like, I'm going to go. This, as I'm saying this thing in my head, I'm going, this is the last thing that I'm going to say. And I'm going to tag on to the end of this. Look, it was lovely to see you. Great to talk to you. I need to go now.
Okay.
I'm never going to let the conversation peter out to, right. So anyway, it was great to see you, and off I go.
A tactic I developed in that is to actually start physically taking yourself out of the situation
as you're talking.
As you're talking. Yeah. And that works a treat
now,
for me.
Have you ever had a social interaction whereby you're passing somebody on the street and it's somebody who you will say hello to, but you don't know whether you're going to stop and talk to them?
Yeah.
And they give the body language of, let's stop and talk. And you give the body language of, I'm going to keep walking.
Almost every day.
And just
totally,
day after day after
literally
day.
Like,
yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
I do a lot of, hi, how are you, in like fast pace past them. like a kind of, hi, who are you? Having a clue who they are.
Yeah.
Or I do know who they are and I don't think they want to stop and talk. Or
like what could be more, you know, occasionally when you meet somebody and they like the cahoots, like,
yeah,
and then you don't know them, but you're looking at, and they're looking at you. So you're like, oh, I wonder, do I know them from school or something? Then you stop and have a conversation and they're just saying, oh, I like your videos.
And then it's mortifying, like, that you stopped.
I don't know you now. Yeah. And I don't want to be standing here to stop and talk to you. I'm trying to get out my own day here, guys.
If I stop someone, the onus is on me to keep the conversation going. It's not on them. So like if somebody stops you and goes, oh man, I love your videos and you're so funny, etc. If they run out of stuff, you've nowhere to go.
But what do I do? Just try and walk off again then. And we've no out. We don't know each other.
No.
Very hard.
I won't see you again. I won't see you again.
I also think, like, I know intimate details about people from like Facebook and Instagram, but if I met them on the street, then it's almost like you're playing a game where you're pretending that you don't know everything about them. Or like there's people that I could have been like briefly commenting on something they posted on Facebook and then I'd walk past them on the street because I'm like, I only know this online soul. I don't know them to actually talk to her. And
I would always assume that they don't want to talk to me as well. Like, I mean, that's this probably is something going on deep down inside of me. Like,
I work off the assumption that, oh, they don't want to be interrupted by me, or if I have the kids with me, they don't. Like, even with some of my closest friends, I'm like, will we go for lunch? Oh, the kids will be with me. As if, like, breaking news, like, we're going to be allergic. Sure, they should be delighted. The kids are great.
Breaking news, the kids will be with me.
I think what I'm going to get better at is that, okay, this idea of like, I really don't want to bother people. But at the same time, if somebody stops me and talks to me in the street, or if somebody texts me asking me to do something, does it bother me? No. So yeah, why wouldn't the same logic apply to me texting somebody else or me?
It's very rare that I'm actually bothered. Yeah. Like, it's very rare that I'd actually be like, God, that was so annoying.
With someone talking to you on the street.
Oh, never.
I don't think it's ever happened to me, really.
No.
Yeah.
How annoying that they came over and were nice.
No. But the only, annoying isn't the right word, it's that feeling of cringe sometimes, and it's always me creating it. Because I'm always gone away in my head, I'm like, oh, they're thinking, oh, he's a bit weird, God, he's not like, oh, he's weird now since school, he was sound in school, he's weird now, what's he up to now? None of this stuff's happening, like,
they're
not
thinking that, I don't think.
I don't think they're anyway, Laura, I hope they're not, you know?
They might be.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, no, I've chatted to a few of them and I think they...
Chattitude!
Yeah, Chattitude, welcome to Chattitude.
So, to conclude, to wrap up, if you don't mind... New Year's resolutions. What's the sneezing Jesus say?
Our producer is holding up another sign.
She can't talk. Oh, she's very good.
She's a very handy
Jesus.
Little producer.
Guys, us here at Chattitude Gold Cahoots, we don't just make podcasts.
Oh no,
we make live theatre shows.
Beautiful.
And luckily for you and for us, because we're going to enjoy it as well, we have a show coming up at the end of January in the Cork Opera House. January 31st.
31st. 8 o'clock
in the Cork Opera House on the main stage, and it is going to be an incredible night.
As far as you know, there's still tickets available. It's going to be such a fun night, and I can tell you that now straight off, guys.
Totally.
It's going to be great.
We're going
fun.
To be having an absolute laugh, and I hope and I think you might too, guys.
So book your tickets and come up to us afterwards. We'll have a long old chat. We'll let it get awkward.
Don't let it go on too long.
No, we will. We'll deliberately
keep
let
walking,
it get a bit awkward
walking.
And... We'll stop and you'll keep walking.
We're also in Whelan's on the 12th of February.
We're doing a little reggae set there.
Big gig.
And it is going to be a tight little reggae set.
So
That's racist.
That's not racist.
Surely racist.
That's not racist.
Come on, guys. Stay away from racism.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and open out more. I'm going to be more loving. Sneaking Jesus is going to get different types of tights. What do you say, love?
I am going to
juicy fruits.
Not be less of a basket case and get off
your
my phone.
Case,
get off my phone.
Get off your phone
so
when you're watching the telly.
You're opening out, and I'm actually closing myself off.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Is opening out a bit of a weird
one? Please don't open out.
What's your resolution? I'm going to open out a bit more.
I'm going to open out more.
I'm going to expose myself.
I'm going to open my heart and my arms.
Exactly. That's good.
And my toes. Yeah. Actually. I'm going to open up my doors.
Get those doors open, Dominic.
And I'm going to be less afraid of bothering people.
You never bother me, bud.
Good, thank you.
And I'm going to meet and greet. I'm going to go networking for the year.
And I'm going to turn off my phone and I'm not going to plug any gigs.
Did you stir that stew?
Come here.
Come here and delight.
Come here.
Launch a monologue at you.
Basket case!